Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Global Outreach Mission. Today our text is taken from Psalm 5, verses 1 and 2a. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. Here's David, who is crying out to God that his prayer would be answered. And many times we need to cry out to God and ask for help because things happen in our lives that are beyond us that we can't take care of without the Lord's help. And this is a prayer of guidance. He wants to know God's will for his future. He wants to know how to get out of the dilemma which he finds himself in. And of course, I don't know about you, but over my lifetime, when I've called out to God and asked him for help, he always gives it. Sometimes he says yes, and the prayer is answered. Sometimes he says no, and the prayer doesn't get answered, but it's for my own good. And sometimes he says wait. And of course, the waiting part of it is sometimes hard for us to do. But if we rely upon the Lord and allow things to happen according to his will and his timetable, I do know that God answers all prayers, and he meets all our needs, and he helps us through the difficulties in life. So we can always trust him and thank him for his blessings and for the open doors that he provides for each and every one of us. This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Eddie and Carrie Ramos, who are presently serving in the Dominican Republic. And God has led them together and has used them in a mighty way. And we're going to find out more about their ministry today. And Carrie, why don't you tell us about the ministry at the school and maybe some of the children that you both have had an influence over.
Okay, our school is called Colegio Caminito de Jesus. That translates as Pathway to Jesus School. It's in Santiago, Dominican Republic. Our school is currently serving about 250 kids from 2 years old to sixth grade. Most of the kids at our school would otherwise be in the public school system in the Dominican Republic. The public school system down there is very poor, and so the kids there do not get quality education. So our ministry is twofold. It is one to reach out to the lower economic neighborhood and reach out to those kids and give them a quality education. And it is also to reach those kids and their families and tell them about Christ and bring them to Christ. And so being with those kids every day gives us a lot of opportunities to witness to them, to counsel parents and families, and to share with them about the love of Christ. So a lot of our students come from very difficult home situations, and so definitely need to learn about the love of Christ, and being brought to Christ is something that could change their lives. One student that we were able to reach their family is a little girl. Her name is Monica, and she was in our four-year-old classroom. As part of her Bible curriculum, she participated in danza. Danza is the word in Spanish that's used in the Bible for a type of dance that is worship. It's a respectful form of worship through dance. She had the opportunity to participate in that as part of our Bible curriculum in our four-year-old preschool room, and she loved it. She took to it, and she lit up learning Danza. There was a noticeable change in her behavior and her attitude and her face. You could just see it. And she would go home, and she would sing the songs, and she would practice her Danza at home. And so when her mom and her grandma came to parent-teacher conferences that year, they talked to the teacher and they said, what is happening with Monica? Because she's changed. And she prays before she eats. She prays before she goes to bed. And we've just noticed a change in her. And so that gave us the perfect opportunity to witness to her mother and to her grandmother and tell them about Christ and tell them about Jesus and share with them about the gospel and talk to them about salvation. And it was so amazing to me how God can use even the smallest of children to reach their own families, their own parents, and to be witnesses to their families as well.
Yeah, that's a really a wonderful story. We're so thankful that you've had the opportunity to minister there and be there. Eddie was the administrator there for several years. Eddie, do you have any stories you'd like to share with us?
Bueno, una de las historias de varias.
One of the stories out of many.
Fue un niño cuando yo estaba dando educación física.
Was a child from when I was teaching PE.
Tenía alrededor de 4 años, 5 años.
He was 4 or 5 years old.
Él me preguntó, tío Eddie.
He asked me, Uncle Eddie.
¿Quién es Dios?
Who is God?
Y me dio la oportunidad de explicarle quién era Dios.
And it gave me the opportunity to explain to him who God is.
Después de eso, él comunicó quién era Dios a sus padres.
And after that, he went home and he talked to God with his parents, about God to his parents.
Y a fin de año, los padres me dieron un gran abrazo.
And at the end of that school year, his parents came to me and they gave me a big hug.
Y realmente me sentí orgulloso.
And I felt very proud.
De saber que honramos a un Dios.
To know that we honor a God.
Que puede trabajar en la vida de los niños y de los padres.
Who can work in the lives of children and their parents.
Y eso marcó mi vida también.
And that touched my life as well.
Wow. Well, that is a good story. Thank you for sharing that. Now, Eddie, you were the administrator there. You were actually taking care of the day-to-day operations and watching over the finances. Is that what your job was?
Yes. Uno de mi trabajo era mantener todo en orden, prácticamente.
My work in general was just to keep everything in order.
Y lidiar o resolver algunos de los problemas.
And to be a leader and to resolve some of the problems that came up as well.
And now you've actually trained others to even take over your position there and it frees you up so that you can go to another ministry.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, we'll find out more about your new ministry next week. The Lord bless you. We're so thankful for the way that you've been able to minister to so many needy kids and bring them to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
For sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. As you know, this is a listener-supported program, and we cannot continue to be on the air without the support of our listeners. So we ask you to pray for us and to write in and let us know how the broadcast is being used in your life. This month, we're offering a wonderful pamphlet entitled The Psalms, and the subtitle is In God's Presence. And, of course, the Psalms bring us to God's presence and talk about God's presence. But this booklet breaks down the 150 Psalms into the five books of Psalms. And then it goes to explain why each book sort of flows into the next one and what the purpose of each of those five books are. And then it also talks about some of our favorite Psalms, has them categorized, the Psalms that help us with comfort or deliverance or confession or forgiveness or for protection, for sadness and sorrow, for help in times of trouble, and for worry, anxiety, and anguish. And so this pamphlet is very helpful to our spiritual life. It gives great comfort. And of course, the Psalms have always given all of us comfort over the years and has been a blessing to us in times when there's nowhere else to turn to. But this booklet does bring us into God's presence and helps us to understand the Psalms and bring us closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. So I highly recommend this booklet. You can write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.
Sing the mighty power, oh, sing the mighty power. Sing the mighty power, oh, sing the mighty power.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise.
Sing the mighty power
that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies.
Sing the mighty power. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. Sing the mighty power of God.
The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey.
Sing the mighty power of God. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with food. He formed the creatures with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky. Sing the mighty power, oh, sing the mighty power. Sing the mighty power, oh, sing the mighty power. There's not a plant or flower below but makes thy glories known.
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman and is taken from the book of Jeremiah. I know that you enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
Today we begin a new series of talks entitled, There is a Generation. The scriptural basis for what I would like to discuss is found in the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 30, beginning at verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. Did you notice in this passage the expression, there is a generation, is repeated no less than four times? Surely this has some significance. The word generation is sometimes used in Scripture to indicate a certain period of time, such as the generation of Adam or the generation of Noah. Today, a generation usually is regarded as a period of approximately 40 years. Christ used the word in this sense when, after foretelling the momentous world developments of the period prior to his return to this earth, he said, "This generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled." That is, all the momentous events predicted for the period immediately preceding his return will be fulfilled in the space of one generation. Sometimes in Scripture, the word generation is used not so much with reference to a period of time, but with reference to the people or the society of a particular period who manifest certain distinguishing characteristics. For example, Christ said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it." And again, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I suffer you?" Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, exhorted his listeners to save themselves from this untoward generation. And later in his second epistle, said of believers in Christ, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." In the 30th chapter of Proverbs, the term generation is used with reference to the people of a period of time who will manifest the characteristics described. Before examining those characteristics, we should note that the insight into the future revealed in this chapter did not originate with Solomon, who wrote the book of Proverbs. Verse 1 makes clear that chapter 30 records the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, and that his words were prophetic, having to do with the time yet future. He communicated his prophetic insight into the attitudes and characteristics of a future generation to two men, Ithiel and Ucal. The Bible gives no information about these men other than that Ithiel was a Benjamite and a contemporary of Nehemiah at the time he rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem. We're given some insight into Agur's character and attitude by two statements he made to his friends before uttering his description of a generation to come. In verses 2 and 3, he said, "Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learn wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy." Clearly, Agur denied any personal human understanding or wisdom by which he could anticipate and foretell the characteristics of a future generation. Now look at verses 5 and 6. "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar." Here is a clear acknowledgement of the purity and the undefiled truthfulness of everything God says, and a warning that finite men must not add to or attempt to embellish the divinely imparted and divinely preserved infallible words of God. Perhaps it was this attitude on Agur's part that caused the Holy Spirit to move Solomon to include his prophecy in the book of Proverbs, which he wrote under the Holy Spirit's inspiration. Now let us turn our attention to the first of Agur's prophetic utterance concerning a generation of men and women he saw as he looked far into the future from the day in which he lived. Verse 11, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." When the people of Solomon's kingdom heard Agur's prediction, their reaction was no doubt a sense of shock and even disbelief. The foundation of their society was the Ten Commandments God had given through Moses at Mount Sinai. And the fifth of those commandments, at the very center of their moral code, was the divine injunction, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Every Hebrew child was taught that commandment from infancy, and that it was a commandment from God. In other words, the spiritual dimension of family relationships was recognized and was at the very heart of Hebrew home and family life. But more than that, the fifth commandment was unique among the Ten Commandments in that it carried with it a divine promise of prolonged life in the land, enriched and preserved by the providence of God. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." It is noteworthy that Christ referred to this particular commandment and its special significance on a number of occasions during his earthly ministry. And the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, referred to it as the first commandment with promise. That is, it contains a promise of something very worthwhile for those who obey it. Looking down the corridors of time, Agur saw the emergence of a generation that will reap the consequences of adopting an attitude and pursuing a course that runs completely contrary to this particular commandment of God that holds such promise for those who respect it. "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. He obviously is describing a generation that will reject the spiritual dimension of family relationships, resulting in a breakdown of these relationships which God, in his divine wisdom and foreknowledge, established for the good and well-being of mankind. God's commandment for children to honor their father and mother was not given to impose some onerous obligation on children in violation of what sociologists today like to refer to as children's rights. God, in the beginning, instituted the ordinance of marriage, creating the home and family unit as the foundation on which human society could and should be built. The preservation of the spiritual dimension with which God endued home and family relationships at their inception is basic to a strong and cohesive society, and to a society that will experience the divine blessing and preservation of God. It is the essential ingredient of family relations necessary to produce such a society and ensure that it will be so blessed and preserved. When that divinely ordained spiritual dimension is undermined and destroyed, the family unit loses its quality and strength, and society takes itself out from under the umbrella of God's divine blessing. Agur, in his prophetic vision, saw a generation who will reject that spiritual dimension, and whose attitude and actions will bring about the breakdown of intended family relationships. By so doing, it will be rejecting what God says is pertinent to the well-being and preservation of society as a whole. Honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with thee, is God's exhortation. Clearly implied is the certainty that it will not be well for those who do otherwise. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Again, the clear implication is that the opposite will be equally true for those who reject God's exhortation. The people of Israel learned this to their sorrow when, having repeatedly spurned God's commandment with its promise, he finally withdrew his providential protection and permitted their enemies to conquer and drive them from the land that God had given them. But the generation Agur foresaw will be a generation that will do more than reject that which God says is basic to their well-being and divine preservation. It will be a generation that will actively engage in doing the very opposite to that which God asks them to do. It will be a generation that not only will not honor their father, but will curse him. A generation, he says, that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. The implication is that the generation he speaks of will be a generation that takes satisfaction not only in demonstrating its unwillingness to respect the commandments of God, but in deliberately saying and doing the very opposite of what God asked them to do. Agur did not indicate when that generation will emerge on the world scene. But it is significant that when Christ described the social conditions which will prevail at the time of his return to this earth, he foretold a breakdown in family relationships when he said, "Ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household." The Apostle Paul, speaking of that same period, said in his letter to Timothy, "In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, without natural affection, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Surely these statements indicate that a breakdown in family relationships and a rejection of what God asked people to be and to do will characterize the generation occupying the world stage at the time of Christ's return. I leave it to you to judge how closely these prophetic descriptions coincide with the attitudes and actions of many families and individuals today. The rejection of the spiritual dimension of family relationships certainly is widespread today, and the consequences are obvious. The alienation of children from parents has become one of the major social concerns of our times. The breakdown of so many marriages and home and family relationships has become a major cause of the serious social problems which abound today. These developments were foreseen and anticipated by holy men of God, who in times past were given prophetic insight into what the future held in store. The circumstances we see all around us today may well be those which men like Eger foresaw and which moved him to write, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." The greatest protection a family unit can have against the erosion of the family relationships God intends they should enjoy and which he has promised to bless is a personal relationship on the part of each family member with the divine person of Jesus Christ. Father, as the head of your household, you need that relationship above all else. Mother, as the mainstay of home and family life, you have the same need. Children, you can bring to your home and family circle a bond of love and respect that will make your home an oasis in the midst of all life's problems. If only you will open your heart and life to Jesus Christ and let him be your personal Savior and counselor and friend. The restoration of the spiritual dimension of family relationships is one of our greatest needs in this country today. God give us in Canada families and homes in which Christ and the Word of God are respected and honored and obeyed. That above all else will bring the blessing of God on our nation and its people and restore to our society the fruits of his divine preservation. You can help bring this about. Will you as a family? Will you as an individual? Open your heart and life to Christ today. And from this hour on, enthrone him as your personal Savior and the sovereign Lord of your life and home. May God bless you.
I know the sermon you just heard will make a tremendous impact in your life. We believe the Word of God brings us closer to God and does spiritual work in our hearts and minds. We do pray that listeners who listen to this broadcast regularly continue to grow in their faith. And we trust that those who have never had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ will understand that they are sinners and they need a Savior. The Scripture is really clear that all sin and come short of the glory of God. It also tells us that the wages are the payment for our sin. There's always a payment for wrongdoing. The payment for our sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is the fact that God sent his best gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, to earth. He lived a sinless life. He went to the cross. He bore our sins in his own body, your sins and my sins. He took our place, took our punishment, took our hell. And all he asks is for us to believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I've claimed that verse personally. I believe it, and it's transformed my life, and I believe it will transform your life as well. This month, we're offering a wonderful pamphlet and just entitled Psalms, talks about being in God's presence. You can order your copy by writing to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R, or 7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. You can also get this broadcast and past recordings of Canada's National Bible Hour on our website, which is www.missiongo.org. And please remember us in your prayers. And just remember that this is a listener-supported program, and during the summer months, it's very difficult to raise funds to continue these broadcasts on the air.